want to begin this morning by telling you a story, or reading to you a story. There was a lady who had been diagnosed with a terminal illness. She had only been given several months to live. And as she was getting her things in order, she contacted her minister, who came to her house to discuss certain aspects of her final wishes. She told him which songs that she wanted to have sung at her funeral service. She told him what scriptures she wanted to have read. Even told him the outfit that she wanted to wear. Everything was in order and the minister was about to leave. And then the lady, she suddenly remembered something that was very important to her. And she says, "There's one more thing, preacher." And she was very excited when she said this. And he said, "Well, what is that?" And she said, "This is important," the woman said. "I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand." Minister was very puzzled. He didn't really know what to say to that. And she says, "Does that request surprise you?" And he said, "Well, it's an odd request. I'm surprised at that." And the woman explained it this way. She said, "My grandmother once told me this story, and I have always tried to pass its message along to those that I love and to those that are in need of encouragement. In all my years of attending church socials, potluck dinners, I always remember that when the main course was over, someone would come up to me and lean into my ear and say, 'Keep your fork.' And it was my favorite part because I knew that something better was coming. Maybe a velvety chocolate cake or a deep dish apple pie, but something wonderful was about to follow that main course. So I just want people to see me for the last time with a fork in my hand. And then I want them to ask, 'What's with the fork?' And I want you to tell them, 'Keep your fork, for the best is yet to come.'" You know, some of you may very well have heard this lesson before. I preached this lesson here on October the 18th, 2009. And I have had several people mention this lesson to me and ask that I present it again. Jack Lewis is one of them. He's over here grinning right now. He probably remembers the last time. So 17 years later, if you were here 17 years ago, you'll get to hear this lesson for a second time. And if you wasn't here 17 years ago, I do hope that you can get something out of it. You know, I don't have to tell you life can be hard. Life can be discouraging. Life can be disappointing. And if you're not careful, you can reach a point where you're just ready to throw up your hands and quit. And just say, "What's the use? Why should I even try to be a Christian? It's not getting me anywhere. It's not benefiting me in any way." We may have people here today who are thinking that very thing. And if it happens to you, you need to stop and say to yourself, you need to keep your fork. Because the good stuff is coming. The best that God has to offer us is ahead of us. You know, one of the problems with Christianity, or our thinking in Christianity today, is that we don't think that God pays that much attention to us. Many of us get the idea that God has forgotten about us, that He doesn't worry about us, He doesn't really consider us in His thinking and His planning and whatnot, and we just think, "Well, I just need to go somewhere else because I don't think God cares." But I want to tell you, my friends, God, has made some tremendous promises to those of us, as Paul said in Romans 8:28, who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Friends, we have to believe that. God has blessed us every day of our lives, but the best is yet to come. Now, I want to begin this morning by looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. And this is something that Paul said, and I believe is very important for us to remember. He said, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. For even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us for a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now, what Paul is trying to tell us is don't faint, don't quit, don't give up. You may be weak physically, you may be worn out, you may be tired, you may be ready to perish. You know, we've all seen people who have been basically trodden down with difficulties in life, and it seems like it comes one right after the other, and there's never an end to it. And we've all gone through things like that. But Paul tells us our spirit is strong. God has given us a strong spirit. It is being renewed day by day. It is becoming better day by day. Our affliction, as bad as it may seem to us, is really only light. And just for a moment. So we need to hold on to our fork. Because what is coming is far greater than anything that we have ever had. You see, we are only able to see the things that are visible. And the things that are visible are only temporary. The clothes that you are wearing today will someday be thrown into the trash, either because you've outgrown them or you've outworn them. The car that you're driving today will someday be in salvage because it will quit. The house that you live in today will someday fall and be destroyed. Everything that we have physically is temporary. Even the finest things like gold and silver. Gold, even in its greatest form, will turn green eventually. Silver will tarnish. Everything is temporary. But you see, there are things that are invisible. And these are the things that we look for, because these things that come from God are eternal. So we look for these eternal things, these invisible things, because they're far greater than anything we can have physically or temporarily. Now, let's move over to Luke chapter 15. This is the story of the prodigal son. A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me." So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed into a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Do you know what this boy had? He had a fork in his hand. He was going to dig in. He had it made, he thought. He was, as we would say today, living the life of Riley. Do y'all say that in Georgia? Yeah, we say it all the time in Alabama. He had money, he had power, he had friends. But then all of a sudden, the money ran out. And when the money ran out, so did his popularity. And so did his friends. And he was left with absolutely nothing. Wound up living in a pig pen, eating the food that he had been feeding to the pigs. But then Scripture tells us that he came to his senses and finally returned home. And when he does, do you know what happens to this young man? His daddy put a fork back in his hand. The best for this young man was yet to come. The fatted calf has now been killed for him. He now has a new robe. He now has the new shoes. He now has a new ring. And the father gives this to the son, and he is literally treated like royalty. This young man is not going to receive just any old garment. It's going to be a new garment. He's not going to be given just any old ring. It's going to be a bright, shiny ring. He's not going to be given just any old pair of shoes to wear. He's going to have the best. The best is coming for this young man. And we may take a look at this young man and we may say, oh boy, this sounds so great. How can I get this great gift? How can I receive the greatest gift from God? Let me ask you, do you want to be top dog in God's eyes? Do you want to climb the top of that mountain and be the best? Well, I'm going to show you how. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 42 and 44, James and John, two of the disciples, they come to Jesus and they ask Jesus if they could be allowed to sit on the right side and the left side of him in his kingdom. Basically, what James and John is wanting is authority. They are wanting power. Now, the only problem was the other 10 disciples heard them say this and they became angry. I want you to listen to what Jesus told James and John. You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. You want to be the best? You want to be top dog? We must be a servant. A servant to all. You see, the best is for those who are willing to submit to the Father's will. Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates of the city. Okay, let me ask you this. Let's go back to this visible and invisible thing. Who in here has ever seen the tree of life? Raise your hand. Why haven't we seen the tree of life? It is one of those invisible things, isn't it? Did you know that the tree of life bears 12 manner of fruit? Do we have a fruit tree down here that can do anything like that? Of course not. Who in here has seen the gates to the city of heaven? Anybody ever seen that? No. It is one of those invisible things that you and I have been taught through God's Word exist. It is there and it is waiting on us. And the best is for those who faces the very worst that this life has to offer and endures it to the end, because the gates of that city is the end. Actually, it's just the beginning. the Hebrew writer tells us to lay aside every weight and sin which clings so easily. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. What race? The race that gets you to the gates of the city. The race that will get you to see and be a part of that tree of life. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 13, the one who endures to the end will be saved. Now, do you know what that actually means? You can take that coin or that record or whatever and you can flip it over to the other side. And the other side is going to say the one who does not endure to the end will not be saved. Which one do you want? Which side of that coin do you want to look at? We want to endure, church. We want to be there to the end, because if we're not, we're not going to make it. And we can be here on this earth and we can enjoy all these wonderful temporary things that life has to offer us. And when they go away, we'll find us another temporary thing to enjoy. But when we breathe that last breath, we will be standing before God and He will tell us whether we will live or die forever. Again, which side of that coin do you want to see? And if we endure, oh, what wonderful blessings that we will have. So my friends, keep your fork. The best is yet to come. Now I want to look at one more example. Genesis 43, Jacob discovered his fork. And it was during the years of a famine by all means. You see, they had run out of food. So Jacob sent his sons to Egypt to buy food for the family because he knew there was food in Egypt. He didn't know why there was food in Egypt. He didn't know it was his son that had created all this. So he sends his sons to Egypt to buy food. Now we know the events that took place. When the brothers got there, they met their brother Joseph that they had sold into slavery, which went to Egypt and had a horrible lifestyle for a while. Joseph is now the number two ruler in Egypt, their brother. And he sees them and he recognizes who they are. They did not recognize him. So he begins to accuse them of being spies. And he demands them to bring his youngest brother Benjamin to Egypt. When the brothers get home and tell Jacob this, Jacob is in despair. Jacob doesn't know what to do. The ruler of Egypt wants his youngest son. Jacob's world is now caving in on him. One son has already been killed by a wild beast. Another son, Simeon, is now being held in Egypt to be sure the brothers bring Benjamin back. So now he's in jail in Egypt. And now he may lose Benjamin. What's the father to do? He didn't know what to do. He was in such despair. But he agrees to the demands of this ruler of Egypt, not knowing that it was actually Joseph, his son. And this is what he said. May God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may release your other brother and Benjamin. If I am bereaved, I am bereaved. And he was definitely bereaved. Wait a minute. Look at what's happened to Jacob. Jacob has got a fork in his hand. God's not through with him. The best is yet to come for Jacob. He's about to find out, Jacob, your son Joseph is not dead. He is alive. Not only is he alive, he is now the number two ruler in Egypt. And you're going to get to go there. And you're going to get to see him, and you're going to get to live with him in Egypt. You're going to be given the land of Goshen, which is the best in the land of Egypt. Keep your fort, Jacob. The best is yet to come. Christian friend, I want to suggest to you today, pick up your fork. Keep your fork. No matter how hard life becomes, no matter how downtrodden you have become, no matter how many times you don't get your way in life, things are going to change for you. In the book of Revelation, there are actually seven Beatitudes. One is found in Revelation 19 and verse 9. It says, "Blessed are those invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." Guess what? You and I are invited to this marriage. We are invited to the marriage of the Lamb. The Lamb is Christ and His bride. And church, we are the bride. We are the bride of the Lamb. The church is the bride of Christ. And listen to verse 17 of Revelation 19. "Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God." We have been invited to the supper of the great God. So keep your fork. The best is yet to come. God has offered us that great invitation, and you have been invited. The question is, will you accept it? Have you surrendered your life to the Lord? Remember the scripture. If you will submit your life to the Lord, have you obeyed the gospel commands to become a child of God? If not, there they are on the screen. Such an easy thing to do. Obey Him. If you have obeyed Him and you find you've not been living for Him, you can repent of that. And you can begin again. Christian, keep your fork. The best is yet to come. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing this song.